Warning, the following audio transmission is based on theory and is intended for entertainment purposes only. It's Doomsday and its affiliates will not be held liable for anything your dumbass does. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome everybody to It's Doomsday Podcast. Today is September 23rd. Time is 1:10 p.m. and joining me at Prepper Camp, that's right, we're at Prepper Camp, is B-Man Jay, who decided to come out to Prepper Camp. What's up, man?
How much? How you doing, sir?
Oh, I am doing good. So for the listeners out there, it's been a little while since we produced the show. Trying to get back in the swing of things. We are now sitting in Saluda, North Carolina at Prepper Camp for the second year in a row. And B-Man, have you been to this event before?
No, I have not.
What do you think of it so far? I know you've only been here for like 20 minutes.
It's good. I went looked at a bunch of the vendors, talked to some of the people. It's definitely a nice family-friendly vibe here, which is great.
So. Absolutely. And so there, when I've said this last year, I said this on the show too, there are really good people here. Even people's kids are really well behaved here.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something you just don't see at a lot of these other events. Like, there's kids running around screaming, breaking stuff, freaking out, crying. And here, like, all the kids are just quiet and put together, or they're involved in something, so they're occupied.
They've been sitting in the classes and they've been talking to other kids or whatever. I mean, it's definitely a different mentality here.
Oh yeah, these kids probably get their asses whooped when they get home. That's probably why. That's got to be the big part of it. So were you planning, I know you're going to go speak with Toolman Tim later.
Yep.
Did you plan on attending any of the classes, or do you have time to attend any of the classes?
I'm going with Phil and then with Tim, so I'm going to try to fit some classes in between and maybe stay a little bit later,
rock
talk
on
with people and find things out.
Yeah, maybe next year if we can get you out here earlier,
yeah,
right, and you can stick around.
That'd be good. It's a long drive to get here.
Yeah, well, you got to think, man, if you were out here, I don't know, doing a class.
Yeah, then I'd have to be here.
You'd have to be here, yeah. And then, you know, maybe you get free lodging or something. Maybe I just crash with you. There could be a win-win here. So the other thing I did notice is you do have guys that have booths here that are camping, like, right here in the parking lot, like, around the outside. So, like, Tim and Phil, they have tents set up right behind their booths, and they're actually camping here.
Oh, nice.
Which I thought that was pretty cool. And I noticed last year a couple people were doing that, but I was like, maybe that's frowned upon. So maybe we don't do that. But for everybody out there, we are right up front this year. We're right at the main entrance when you come into the event. And it's a different dynamic up here at the front than it was last year. Last year, we had all kinds of action at the booth. It was really, really busy. You couldn't go 10, 15 minutes without somebody stopping to talk to you.
Yeah.
Right? And what are you, like, I know you do other events and you go other places, and I know you said you like the vibe here. Is this typical to what you see at other places, or is it just, like, totally different?
I mean, most of the time I'm going to either beekeeping events, and that's a whole different vibe there, but
right.
And it's more about the vendors and the speakers, and that's it. And then there's not much talking in between unless you really know people. But yeah, I mean, it's every event's a little bit different. I've done comic book collection events, and you know, that's really.
Are you looking for something kick ass to add to your closet? Reaper has the hookup for t-shirts, hoodies, button-ups, hats, beanies, and plenty of other badass products. You can check out Reaper Apparel Company at www.reaperapparelco.com and use code DOOM10 for 10% off. Jester only stands behind brands he believes in, and Dan at Reaper Apparel has a mission, and Jester is on board. Go check out www.reaperapparelco.com today and use code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire order. Why be a sheep when you can reap? Use code DOOM10 for 10% off at www.reaperapparelco.com today.
Usually they put those guys in such a small venue, and there's so many people that you have to be at the table because you can't get past anybody. So,
right.
But this is nicely spread out, and it's well done, and it looks good.
Yeah,
like
you
it.
Really can't tell there's 2,000 people bouncing around here.
No.
It doesn't seem like it. Until a class lets out, then it just, like, floods. But
yeah.
So we did have a topic picked out for this show today, but I had to get all that prepper camp stuff out of the way.
Yeah, eat up on my time, huh?
Yeah, right? So, yeah, one more thing for the listeners out there since we're on that. So the next couple episodes that are going to get published are all going to be from prepper camp. So if you don't like the background audio, if you find it a little bit annoying, the volume's too low, it doesn't sound like the regular show, just know that the next few consecutive shows that come out are going to be from prepper camp.
But I was the first.
But you were the first. You are the first. So what we were going to get into was different cultures in prepping. B-Man has traveled around the world. How many different places have you been to?
A few.
A few? Oh, okay, that helps.
All over Europe, parts of Canada, pretty much about, that's about it that I can talk about. So, but yeah, it's different cultures have different ideas, and you were just overseas, and you realize they don't need to really look at prepping the way we do, because we're getting away from eating off the land. You know, everybody thinks convenience is great, which it is, until something happens and, you know, a tornado comes through and takes out all the stores. Do you have food? No. Now you're relying on the government to finally show up and give you food or give you clothing. The fire in the Smoky Mountains, I mean, that was devastating to a lot of families just because they were cut off. And we went down, we supplied a bunch of food, and we worked in the factory, or not the factories, but the warehouses there, separating clothing and food sources for everybody. And it was just amazing how many people that are not prepared for anything.
Right. So,
but overseas, they are.
It's, and that's what I was going to say. So we have the family overseas, and they were asking what I'm up to. And my wife tried to explain what a podcast was, and eventually got through that language barrier and did. And then they asked, what's it about? And we said, doomsday prepping. And they said, what is that? And they said, well, preparing for the apocalypse. And they said, well, why? You know, what are you doing? And then we explained the scenarios of what we're doing. And over there, it does not work like it does here. So how you mentioned convenience, we get everything from the grocery store over there. The family over there does not. There's a garden full of greens, and they eat things that we don't eat. So there's different things that look like weeds in the garden that, you know, a pro forager would go and pick these out and be like, oh, yeah, these would be good to eat.
Yeah.
Over there, that's just the mentality. That's what they do. Oh, this grows for free. Why would we spend money on food?
Exactly.
You know, why do we need to get eggs from the store when we have chickens in the backyard? So they're already living the self-sustainable lifestyle as it is, and they don't have to. If the grocery store shuts down, well, we're not getting beer today, or we're not going to get the cheese we like, but we're not going to be dead. You know, we're going to survive. And there's also this kind of, like, weird, like, kind of screw-it mentality that they carry over there, which, you know, the village we go over there to, there's no 911. There's no emergency medical services. And I asked one day, I said, well, what happens if someone has a heart attack? And they just say, oh, well, you die. Then what? Well, then nothing. That's it. That's just how it goes.
And circle, like, of life, right?
So prepping and self-preservation go hand in hand. And I guess, you know, there are people out there that they want that 911 right there in case something does happen.
Yeah.
Totally understandable.
Yeah.
But also, if you live your life in that kind of mentality of, well, if something happens, we'll deal with it. We'll worry about it when the time comes. And
do you have enough food in your pantry for when disaster strikes? Go to www.readywise.com and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire food order. ReadyWise offers long-term food storage items such as chicken and beef that last up to 15 years. But that's not all. Go to www.readywise.com and use our code DOOM10 for 10% off of organic food as well. Offering chili, pasta, and soups, they have you covered. Did we mention they have fruits? Bananas, blueberries, strawberries, and apples, just to name a few. With many more food options for your home, car, or bug out bag, ReadyWise has your six. Go to www.readywise.com now and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off.
I don't know. It was really hard to fathom. No, can't call the police, can't call fire, can't call, there's no rescue services, there's nothing, you know.
And the, and not calling the police is a different thing over there, because when I first went to Europe, you know, I came out of Chicago, and Chicago is pretty much locked down as far as, you know, you have to go into the store, you have to, you know, ask somebody to grab something off certain shelves, to, and then they hand it, or they take it up to the register. Over in Europe, it was like, everything's out on the sidewalk, and I'm like, nobody's here watching it. They just relied on you to be a good person, and if you wanted it, pick it up, take it inside, pay for it, and then walk right back out, and it was no big deal. And it just blew my mind coming from Chicago, where, you know, everybody's watching everybody do something, you know. So it's changed over the years, but it's still kind of that same way. They trust people a lot more. Here, yeah, people are rioting, getting nuts, and then the rest of the world's looking at America like, what are you guys, nuts?
Right, yeah.
A little bit.
So there's, how you brought this up this, with this mentality of, like, you know, people are more trustworthy, stuff like that, and they're leaving stuff outside. It's really odd how carefree the mindset is in other parts of the world like that, because it's the same thing where we go. They don't call the police unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah.
Right? They do count on you being a good person. And with that, and this is like a thing, like a U.S. thing, the mental health issues we have here are horrible. Yeah. And you don't see the drug problems, mental health problems. The, like a lot of these, I'm not saying they're not around the world.
Yeah.
But it's a big problem here.
Yep.
You know, very prevalent. A lot of the bathrooms we go in overseas don't even have handicap access. There's not. And if you, it's like, there's nothing that's ADA compliant. If you can't get up the stairs to use the bathroom, you just go somewhere else. Like, and no one files a lawsuit over it. They're like, screw it, whatever.
Yeah. You don't complain because, I mean, why complain when there's many other choices down the road? And if you really like their food, then you have your neighbor go get it for you, and they would bring it over because they're your neighbor.
Right.
Here, it's like, you don't even talk to your neighbors in the apartment complex.
No.
You know, you don't even know the guy that's been living next to you for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, one day, he's gone. It's like, well, didn't even realize it, that somebody else moved in for the last year.
So, right.
But overseas, you know, they know everybody. It's especially in smaller towns. I mean, that in my small town where I live in Tennessee, we do know everybody. We do kind of watch everybody. So it has a better feeling. But in the bigger cities, yeah, I can't deal with the bigger cities anymore. I can't do it.
I mean, and, you know, I think a lot of people, okay, so again, being overseas, a lot of people are watching each other's backs and, you know, kind of looking out for one another. There's a better sense of community, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
In my house where I live, I had a gate out in front of my property before my house was completely done. And someone hit my gate. And my gate's right next to the neighbor's driveway. And I said, hey, did you see who hit the gate? And she says, no. And then I'm talking to her, like, maybe a few weeks later. And she starts, like, getting on my ass about permitting for a house. Like, and she's sitting there, you have to do this. There needs to be underpinning, blah, blah, blah. Like, all these things, right?
Yeah.
There's a house sitting there already. Done. We're already moved in living there. Yeah. This lady can literally see our house when she pulls up the road. Oblivious that there's even a house there.
Oh, wow.
But that's how far disconnected we are as Americans. And, you know, so you think about it, like, here we're worried, you know, if someone's going to break in your doors in the middle of the night, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. Over there, it's like, nah, leave the windows open, leave everything open, things are going to be fine.
Sure.
You don't see, and I'm not saying there's not horrendous crimes taking place.
It depends on which part of the world you're in.
Right, yeah, but it's not, you can let your kids run freely down the beach and know that they're going to come back to you.
No.
Right?
Here, you used to be able to do that. You used to be able to, but not anymore. Well, when I grew up, you know, nobody locked their house, you know, and your mom and dad kicked you out and said, don't come back till it gets dark.
Right.
And that was typical, you know, and they said, go play in the street, you know, or, well, don't go play in the street, depending on their day. But it was, you could just disappear and you'd be gone all day long. Now it's, you know, where's Junior? Well, he's in the bedroom watching his, you know, playing a game or playing on the phone, or he doesn't go outside. And most kids don't even get driver's license now. And the people that do get driver's license, all the cars are automated and everything else, so they don't even have to really drive. And even then, they're in their own little fishbowl. They don't realize what's going on outside that little fishbowl.
Right. You know?
So when they're pulling the town, they don't realize until now they're right at the protest, and now it's a dangerous point. now they realize, oh crap, why, how did I get here? Well, because you weren't watching, you weren't paying attention. You haven't paid attention in life since you got off your phone, and that was, 20 years ago. So people really need to be aware of their surroundings, and we're getting so far away from that. There's a buddy of mine, he always says, the zombie apocalypse has hit 10 years ago, and he picks up a phone and people are looking at their phone. They're zombies to that phone. They are so into the phone, they're not paying attention to their driving. They're not paying attention to their kids. Their kids aren't paying attention to their parents.
Right.
They're zombies to the phone.
And something was really interesting when you brought up the driving thing. So my father-in-law, every year when I go overseas, he asks me if I could drive a manual transmission.
Fire is one of the most basic essentials for survival. Whether you're camping, hiking, or preparing for disaster, Blackbeard has your six. Go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase. Blackbeard offers stormproof matches, plasma arc lighters, fire starters, and ferro rods, all of which are great for your bug out bag. Once again, go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase.
I get a manual transmission every time I go over, but every year he still asks me because in his brain, people in America don't drive manual transmissions.
Most don't.
But there, it's like a standard thing. Everybody has a standard transmission, and everybody knows how to do that. A lot of these kids nowadays just can't operate them. They have no clue.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's the millennial safety kit for your car.
Right.
You buy a stick shift, and you write the instructions in cursive. They're not going to get it.
No,
they don't even teach cursive anymore in most schools. So, but I taught my kids how to use a manual transmission, and they all love it now. They all have automatics, and they really want to get back to a manual. But if it was when I was growing up, you had to pay extra to get an automatic. Now you have to pay extra to get a stick.
See,
and you can't sell anything. I've been trying to sell my truck for years, and everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's a nice truck, until they see the 6-speed. They're like, oh, well, I can... it goes down the road just like every other truck. It's got less mileage because it's got a stick, because no one drives it.
So, and the whole thing is, for me, if I'm out in a city like this out in the country, I'd rather have that manual because I enjoy driving a manual.
Yep.
In the city stop-and-go traffic, I don't want it.
Yeah, true.
That's just horrible.
Bad knees suck.
When I lived in Florida, it was, you're moving a mile every 10 minutes sometimes, and it's, stop-go. That gets annoying.
Oh, yeah.
And it eventually wears that clutch the hell down way quicker.
Yep.
Right?
And your knee, because you're constantly pulling it in and out. But
there is this big disconnect. There is this big separation. And the other thing I want to go into with the culture stuff was medicine. A lot more holistic medicine is practiced in other parts of the world versus here. We are totally relying on big pharma. So we go overseas, it's here, drink this tea for that. Here's the St. John's wort for that. Here, put this, let me get this leaf and rub this on that. It'll fix that. And that's how that is a lot over there.
Oh, yeah.
And things are fresh.
Oh, yeah.
There is that. That's one of the biggest benefits of being over there. If you get chamomile tea, somebody just picked that yesterday.
Yep.
And it's fresh. It hasn't been processed. It hasn't been sitting. It hasn't been, up on a shelf for 6-7 months, and now it's finally in your cabinet. It was just picked.
And I haven't been over there in a while, so do they even know what the term organic means? Do they have organic foods?
Because
you pay so much more here for organic foods that you don't pay as much to make because you're not spraying them with a bunch of chemicals to keep the bugs off.
So I'll tell you what, okay, and this is because I'm trying to remember things that I saw that were labeled as organic.
Mm-hmm.
Every food and vegetable, everything that I saw that was out on the shelf, nothing had an organic sticker. So I'm assuming it all was organic. But when I went into the aisle where they have the processed meats and stuff, there was stuff actually labeled organic.
Okay.
But it's processed. So maybe that's kind of why.
Hmm.
And I know that the one relative over there has a couple grocery stores. And their grocery stores aren't like they are here. you go into the grocery store, it's basically just for groceries. You get some beer, you get some liquor, you get some wine there.
No.
But it's not like supermarkets here where you're buying all these other different products, you know. And I heard him make some sort of comment in Greek and then said organics, then laughed. So I don't know what the conversation was about. I totally missed it. But apparently the vibe I got from it was organics are a joke, you know.
And, you know, the chemicals, yes, they make that apple look much more beautiful. It doesn't have any blemishes on the skin or anything. But now, yeah, you wash it. But did you realize when they sprayed the tree, they just sprayed the outside of the apple, but they sprayed the leaves. And the leaf sucked in that chemical, and now it's in your apple. No matter how much you wash it, it's still got the chemical in the apple.
Right.
When I was growing up, there was like one or two large people in class in the whole school. Now, there's one or two small kids in the school. You look at most people, and they're much bigger. It's because of all the hormones that we're putting in stuff, all the chemicals that we're spraying and stuff. If you're a large person, do not lose a lot of weight really quickly, because the first thing that's going to be released in your fat cells is all the poisons that you've been sucking up over the years. And now you're going to get really sick because you're just toxified all yourself. You know, you're going to eventually wash it out, hopefully, but all those pesticides that are being sprayed on our food are getting stored in our fat cells.
Right.
So if you lose a lot of weight really quickly, you could get really sick. You could get toxic poisoning.
So, you know, on that note, though, since you brought up that back to the culture thing, I'm like the biggest person on the beach when I go over there. There, everybody is.
Want to be a guest on the show? Email itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com.
Way more physically fit and way more capable and way more athletic and is doing way more physical things every day.
They don't have all the fast food joints.
Well, that's also, you know, that's probably also a part of that.
And we have so much processed food here, and it's hard to find the stuff that's not processed. So every time you process something, you're putting some kind of preservative in it so it stays on the shelf longer. Well, that preservative is being eaten by you.
Right.
I knew a pig farmer up north. He would get the food with the extra hormones in it, and then would get more hormones to throw in it so that his pigs would get to market quicker because they get fatter. Well, then his kids come out, and I'm like, you know, you and your kids all look very similar to the pigs. Your neck is fat. I mean, no, seriously, the back of their neck was fat. I'm like,
how does it get fat back there?
Because of all the hormones. You see very large people, and their neck is one of the last things to really get fat.
Right.
Unless they start eating a lot of processed foods. And then you start looking around, more people are starting to look like the pigs because of all the processed foods and all the chemicals that are being thrown in the foods. Raw milk is incredible, but we have to pasteurize it or homogenize it because farmers will still milk that sick cow that has a mastitis in it into the milk. Well, how do you cure? You don't want to throw away 500 gallons. So you heat it, and then you know, basically you're killing all the germs in there, and then you sell it. So I had horrible headaches when I drank homogenized milk. But when I drink raw milk, I can drink it all day long and have no problem with it.
Right.
So it's the killing of all the good enzymes. It's also the killing of the bacteria that some of the farmers are milking in there because they don't check every single cow on these big factory style turnstiles. Have you ever seen those turnstiles?
Oh, yeah.
They're really cool.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, there's no hands-on anymore.
No.
So you don't know if that cow is actually sick or not until after you look in the milk and you go, it's not quite white.
Yeah, where I lived at, the biggest farm in town was a dairy farm. And they own land all over the place because they would grow a lot of feed corn for the dairy cows.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty big deal in our area. So everybody got their milk from that one place. And, I mean, it was good. They had the best ice cream I've ever had, I think.
Yeah.
Really good
yeah.
ice cream. But, you know, to go back to that, how I was saying the people over there are more physically fit, you know, better chance of survival, the more physically fit you are.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, again, like, you know, the prepping aspect, they're not worried about having to go without food or fighting or anything because they're just in better physical shape. Now, the crazy thing is how you're talking about the foods. They suck down food like crazy over there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dinner's a big deal. They're eating tons of food. And, I mean, it's everything. Breads, ice creams, all the shit that would make us a
huge
bunch of fat asses. They're just sucking it down, and they're, like, fine. And what I noticed is it is the lifestyle, because once you hit like 50, 60, then having a gut is like acceptable there, you know. But before that, it's like, what's wrong with you? Why do you look like that?
Hey, I refer to it as my father figure.
Whatever. I wasn't
not my dad bod.
I wasn't singling you out.
Yeah,
I
mean, 50, 60, come on now.
People can't see you on here, dude.
That's true.
Yeah, so you did it to yourself.
I sound really young, right? But yeah, it's the food intake, and I mean, you see a lot of preppers, and I've trained different organizations, and everybody's standing there with a cigarette in their mouth. I'm like, you realize you're not going to have tobacco when shit hits the fan. And if you do, you have to be growing it yourself, or you're going to be trading for it. What do you want to trade for? And even if you do trade for it, now you're smoking a cigarette. Are you going to be able to carry your go bag and provide for your family across the distance? You don't even like parking at the back of the parking lot. You park as close to the store as you possibly can because you don't want to walk.
Right.
How about you park at the end of the parking lot and practice walking across that long parking lot to Walmart and then around Walmart and then all the way back out to your vehicle and see how well those tobacco lungs are handling you or that extra weight. You know, you don't have to hike all the time. Just park further away from the restaurant or quit going through the drive-through, park, walk inside, order your food, then walk outside. Yeah, it takes a little more time out of your day, but you'll be healthier even a little bit.
Right. No,
you know,
I totally
start
understand
little
that.
Steps.
Right. So, I mean, just to wrap things up here real quick, and then we're going to get out of here. So when we go back to the smoker thing, I just quit. Like, I wasn't smoking cigarettes, but I was still smoking the tobacco pipe, and that was kind of the thought process of how far am I going to be able to run? What am I going to be able to do? What am I going to be able to carry? And I was like, okay, I'm done. And I'm slowly weaning myself off the nicotine with these little 2 milligram things, and they're making it bearable, but I quit smoking the day we left to go overseas. I quit.
Nice.
Because I said to myself, once we're over there, we're in that village, there's not a way to really get tobacco.
Yeah.
I mean, unless I want to go buy like really crappy, nasty cigarettes over there, crappy cigars. I'm like, I'm done. Right? So.
And another aspect of quit smoking is now you can spend that money on ammo or first aid supplies or something else that actually will last you and not be gone.
Well, I was a cheap ass already, man. Pipe tobacco ran me, I don't know, like $8 for a 2 week supply.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And so you're complaining about crappy tobacco over there?
Yeah.
You're smoking it here.
All right, guys, so we're going to get out of here. Everybody out there, if you're not following B-Man J, where can they find you?
B-Manj.com.
B-Manj.com.
You can find all my different links there to all everything I do.
And occasionally you can find them live on Clapper. What's the Clapper name? At B-Man J?
At B-Man J.
At B-Man J. All right.
Emergency action message. At approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, NORA is tracking 15 ICBM nuclear missiles inbound to the following cities: Orlando, Miami, Pittsburgh, Dover, Newark, Richland, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. This is an extremely deadly situation. Stay tuned, the next emergency message will be a presidential address.